Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know. He sort of feels me out, I feel him out, and we go for it.
Hello and welcome to this fourth season of The Worst Idea of All Time. This is a podcast series where myself and my friend Guy Montgomery from New Zealand, originally, now based in New York City, watch and review.
Brisbane.
Huh?
I'm saying currently in Brisbane.
Yeah, we're getting to it. We watch and review Sex in the City, the film, twice a week, every week. And if you do the math, 28 divided by 4 is a lot. What is that?
Seven. Seven times tables have always been one of my strongest times tables.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Seven nines?
I can do that. That's 63.
So we've been doing this for 7 months. That can't be right.
Well,
no, divide by two. Three and a half.
Here's the thing. And this is what Tim said to me just before we started recording. We're almost out of runway here. And this is just us, isn't it? Down to the ground. Mm. We sort of gave ourselves a run-up. We banked a bunch of episodes. We said if we just stay disciplined, if we stay on top of it, it won't get too grisly. And I don't know exactly how this is going to time out, but, I mean, we're already at a point where there is no way in which this isn't going to be the most grueling home stretch of any season of the podcast so far. Mm. We are demanding a lot of ourselves. And, for example, this morning I got up at 5:30 a.m. to watch Sex in the City. So it's now 8 a.m. here. And
I didn't fully understand that. I just didn't think. I thought for some reason you were going to watch the movie yesterday during the daytime, and so you would just have to, like, wake up to do the podcast. But
I should have. But I had stuff on.
Of course you did. You're doing a show. You're on tour.
Suddenly it's nighttime and you've got these shows. And then, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's hard to know how to account for this this in your life. Like, it's hard to know when or how to make time for it. Like, if you treat it with a little bit of respect and you give yourself a bit of space and breathing room in each watch. Once I did decide to, like, you know, come home straight after my show last night and watch Sex in the City, but that did not feel like a thing I wanted to do. So instead I thought I'll just, you know,
not.
I don't know what makes for a healthier, better watch. If it is trying to create an enjoyable environment for yourself to watch, you know, doing what I've done this morning and just getting up and blasting through. Oh, Jesus Christ. I am so fucking tired, man.
What are we going to do?
How are you? What do you see?
I'm not good. It's Saturday.
Do you know this song? Mm-hmm. It goes, color my world with sunshine yellow each day.
Yeah, I think a paint company might have used it in a set of ads when I was a kid on the telly.
I think that's why I know it too.
Is it a real song or is it a jingle?
It's a real song.
That's cool.
It's by a woman named Petula Clark.
Petula Clark's got a bunch of hits.
Truly?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know any of them, but it's a very familiar name to me. When was she around? Was she like big in the 70s or something?
So, yeah, 60s, 70s. Oh my gosh. Sorry, let's stop yawning into Mike. Yawns are contagious. My Boy, Saturday Morning.
Yeah.
Did you watch it just now?
I did. Yeah, I did. I did.
Can I guess what you're wearing?
Yeah.
Jandals?
Nah. My dog's eating all my jandals.
Bare feet?
No.
Shit, I actually need the weather. Can you tell me the weather first?
Yeah, sure. So it's quite overcast. I'm just guessing. I haven't seen a report, but I'd call it probably 20 degrees outside at the moment, maybe 19. I would say maybe like there's a light breeze. It's not whippy out there or anything, but there's a bit of a breeze.
Man, the jandals thing's really throwing me. I was sure you were wearing jandals. Jeans?
Do you know I definitely would be wearing jandals if I owned any at this point?
Jeans?
Yeah, you got it.
Jeans and t-shirt.
Yeah, of course. It's a Timbo. But I reckon you might be able to pick the t-shirt as well.
I'm not getting a clear vision in my mind.
Okay.
Is it white with a print on the front?
No. I looked at that one this morning. Yeah.
Well, pretty good. I mean, I guess it's pretty.
I am wearing
bland
clothes.
Guess. Yeah, yeah.
The shirt I'm wearing is got lots of flowers on it, and it's purple.
Nice.
Got it in Thailand, and it's one of those t-shirts. You know, they stitch a pocket onto it because you get like a pile of sort of secondhand clothes or whatever that are still in good nick, and then you sort of add bits from another piece of clothing to that piece of clothing and it sort of makes it new or something. I don't fucking know. But anyway, I always hated the pocket on it, so about a month ago I finally got round to unpicking it, and it looks perfect now. I really like the shirt.
Is the colour different? Is it not more faded around the pocket, so you'll always in some sense be carrying the pocket or memory of the pocket with you?
Strangely not. It's all pretty even. I'm looking at it, you can see there's a subtle colour difference, but it's not marsh.
I wouldn't let that bother you too much, Tim. Don't notice it every time you look at it now.
Okay.
Is the t-shirt thinning out and pilling?
Yeah. I need new clothes, man. I need new clothes. I feel like I'm 31 now, I need to pay a bit better attention to what I'm wearing out there. I think I just sort of wear this every day, some jeans and some t-shirt, and then put a cap on, and I justify it to myself by going, I'm a creative, I'm writing things, I'm making things, I'm doing podcasts, this is the uniform, but maybe it's just lazy.
I think it's fine. I think, I mean, I'm not even dressed, Tim. I'm not nude, but I'm only wearing a pair of underpants.
I really apologize for what happened, man. I didn't realize you got up at 5:30.
You weren't to know. And do you know that I appreciate you. I'm really grateful for your sympathy and empathy because, you know, you've watched this movie or other movies at Unholy Hours. But it's also alien to me. The Timbat I fell in love with would really put the fucking he'd put the boot in.
I don't know if that's true. Not getting up
tell
at 5:30.
No, it's
that actually bad. I don't know, man. It feels like projection to me. That feels like you would have hit me with that stick, not the
you
other way around.
You better believe I would have. But the good news is, by the time this record's finished, you know, I'm going to be up and at 'em by 9 a.m. That's a huge day ahead of me. How many times have you watched and recorded an episode of The Worst Idea of All Time before 9 a.m?
It's never happened, I don't think.
It's almost impossible.
The trouble for me is, you're quite a good napper, eh? You can go down for a bit of kip in the middle of the day. I have started at a glacial pace getting into daytime napping.
Mm-hmm.
and it's all right. It's pretty good, actually. I would recommend it to all. Maybe it's like taste buds, where every 7 years, if you don't think you can nap during the day, you should give it another hoon to see if your body's adjusted. Because I never used to be able to do it. It would fuck me up for the whole rest of the day till I went to proper bed. Proper bed.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I know what you mean. I think don't even wait 7 years. Try it all the time. Everything's a discipline. I mean, you know, you can learn how to do... not as well as other people who have been practicing it for longer necessarily, but you can learn how to do virtually anything if you just give yourself, if you apply yourself a little bit every day or every time you have an opportunity to. So that 7 year window, I get, is that rooted in scientific fact, is it?
That, oh, I don't know. It's something with your taste buds. Have you not heard that?
I haven't heard it.
I don't know, apparently, but maybe it's an old wives' tale semi-linked to the fact that, like, your cells replace themselves every 7 years or some shit like that. Fuck, I don't know. I'm stringing together a lot of article headlines, you know? Not the meat.
Yeah, yeah.
Just some headlines of things.
Now, do you have anything to say about the movie Sex and the City? Because I had a couple of thoughts.
I had a couple of thoughts. Okay. I want to spit out my shining light because I've got a fear of losing it. And it was Samantha Jones's sunglasses when she's in Los Angeles. They're like a turquoise. They've got frames which are sort of thicker than normal frames, but there's no frame on the outside edge, on the side, on the far left and right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I explained that very well, but ultimately, who gives a fucking shit about you knowing what I'm saying, because this is very trivial.
It's not trivial, Tim. It's important. This is the pillar of positivity around which we're going to build the rest of our conversation.
You're right. I enjoyed the sunnies. But I want to jettison that to talk about something, because we've never really got into this, but the concept that Big just has a driver on hand and the driver's experience of running around mostly Manhattan, ferrying this madman around in his escapades, and it got me to thinking, like, this episode or this watch rather, is the person who is taking Big to his wedding his driver, or has he got a special, like, limo version? And if he did get a different guy in, how hurt would his normal driver feel to not get that gig?
I mean, that's crazy. It's a great question. I feel like, God, I mean, is Mr. Big, is he such a sort of man about town who takes himself so seriously that he wouldn't form a bond over, say, 15 years of sharing time every day with the same driver, that they would not have some sort of camaraderie or something to talk about? Because I don't think he would jettison his main driver for wedding day. Like, that's a day where you'd want your boy.
That's true.
I feel like, though, it's surprising. No, but it must be a new driver. Maybe he gets him from a company and he's got a rotating cast of drivers.
Oh.
Remember when they're driving and he says, I can't go, it's the wrong way. He says, turn the car around. That's not the response of a man familiar with Mr. Big. That's not like, or, you know, like,
if
he knew Mr. Big, he would just do it.
That exchange.
Like, you know, I can't, John.
It's two strangers talking almost, isn't it?
Absolutely. But that, I mean, I feel like, yeah, he must have different drivers, different days. Because I also feel like if he was friends with the driver in the first place, he would probably have done something to try and talk. I mean, I don't know if this is overstepping the professional boundaries, but would have tried to do something to talk him down when he goes to jilt Carrie. Like, if that driver is your friend, then that driver knows Carrie. If that driver knows Carrie, he knows that Big and Carrie, purportedly in the world of the show, are meant to be together.
Yeah.
And that Big's making a huge mistake. And that, you know, he's about to burn an hour and 40 minutes of everyone else's time by jilting her just to wind up together further down the line.
Yeah. He didn't step up to his driver responsibilities at all. But
well,
then, I mean, I don't know how much he's getting
difficult.
Paid.
No, it could be a fireable offence to cross into someone else's personal life.
The The concept of having a driver just seems insane to me. Just to have a person on call all the time.
Like it's quite old money, isn't it?
It's very old money. Yeah.
In New York, maybe less so, I guess, because famously parking is a nightmare. But
the whole idea that your job is to like directly serve one person kind of trips me out. My I think it's my great grandma, might be my great great grandma, apparently used to be the cook for the Queen Mother's family. I always thought that was kind of cool. But it's a similar sort of thing of like a life serving a very specific. I like it if it's a family, actually. I'm sort of into it. It feels nice to me. But if it's one person, it feels weird.
Oh, it's a family business.
No. Like if you're serving a family, if you're doing one thing as your whole job for a family, that feels kind of nice. But if it's for one person, it feels kind of weird to me.
Wow, what does that say about, you know, the conditioning in which we expect people to find mates and spend their lives with other people?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions, I guess. Oh, how am I going to be able to lean back in this chair with you still being able to hear me, Monty? Because I'm going to get further away from
you. I can hear you, buddy.
I need to lie back because I feel
I should have got myself some caffeine or something this morning.
Jesus
Christ,
boy. Can
I do something that you won't care about?
Go on.
There's a real tidy little continuity error. With the smart water, when Charlotte's being a real fun sponge, I mean, and understandably so eventually, because it turns out she's pretty good, but you know when she's casting shade at all the other girls for ordering a second round of margaritas just because she's not indulging?
You've forgotten this, but I've brought this up before. I just moved the whole table towards me. That's what that noise was, sorry.
It sounded like a power tool. Well, what if I told you I picked up on what I thought was another continuity error that has almost definitely also already been discussed, but I have a crack and you can let me know.
Please do.
When Samantha becomes very flustered in the honeymoon suite, while Charlotte and Miranda are resetting the room to neutral by stuffing all those floral petals into a bag, Samantha watches for a while before she hands over the two cocktails she's holding to Paolo. And then she takes off she's wearing a big hat and handbag. She takes them off for how quickly the shot comes back to her without them. It happens in less than 3 seconds, but she doesn't appear to be stressed or flustered at all. Like, you know, if you say, I guess the best articulation would be, you know, if you're meant to be working, like you're meant to be working on something and someone who you are accountable to or who you told you were working comes in, and you try to close the tab or change the screen on your computer, and like your whole energy and body language betrays the fact that you have just made a huge adjustment.
Absolutely.
To what you were doing.
Yeah. Is it what you would expect to see or what you do see in that moment?
Well, it's what you'd expect to see, but what you do see instead is incredibly calm. Which means if you saw her acting flustered, it would qualify as more of a small panic attack. But the fact that she seems calm means that it gets downgraded to a small continuity error.
Let's give them credit where it's due. We've seen the film 8 times now. Not a ton of continuity errors in the film, eh?
You know what? Upsettingly, it's true.
I really think we would have found them by now. I'm tempted to jump on.
Well, like, what are you actually watching for? What is your mindset going into this? Think of this as endurance training.
For what? What's the event? Training means there's something at the end.
But like, you know, if you're doing endurance training, there has to be something in mind. There has to be a notion of why you're doing it.
Like, yeah, exactly. that's the big void we have. There's no reason. There's never been a reason. We are devoid of reason.
How do you get? This is the reason. This conversation is the reason. I mean, it doesn't feel like a great reason right now, but it is the reason.
Yeah.
How do you get through it then?
Do you mean me, Tim? How does one?
What are you thinking of when you go in? When you bloody put your sneakers on?
I can't think.
Boot up.
I can't think. That's the thing. It's the same thing as the discipline of going for a run. I adopted this thing of like, you just can't overthink it. You just, if it pops into your head, you just got to grab your gear and go. Just get your fucking shoes on and go. Get out the door right now. Go, go, go. Don't fucking think about it. Just go. Just kick off. And it's the same for the movie. It's like, I set my alarm for 7:30. I was up until about 2 a.m. last night. Combination of...
Doing what?
Well, I was actually cutting up the director's commentary episodes to make sure that they were freshly loaded into the chamber.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So anyone who's listening to this has heard those.
Yeah, dude. They were episodes 25 and 26, but luckily they've also heard us talk to Jen Fricker, so pull back up on the other side of it.
Yeah, a palate cleanse there.
Fuck, man. Those DIRCOMs, I don't know. Here's what I'm worried about. I don't remember anything that we said. And, you know, I didn't go through and, like, edit 5 hours of audio or anything. I was just checking the levels and making sure that everything was all right. I've also, just as a heads up, if you are on Patreon supporting us, you're going to get access to the video. There is a 4 hour 50 minute, I think it is, video.
This is rank.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I'm just trying to provide content for the good people out there, man. But it is rank as fuck. Anyway, that's why I was up very late. It was pretty depressing. And my wife's out of town, and my dog's not here.
Oh, man, it's just you. God. It's the loneliest you can feel. Now, it is, I think you're right, you know, like, when the alarm went off this morning, it's the same thing. They say the hardest part about going for a run is putting on your shoes and getting out the door.
I don't think that's true, by the way. Emotion. Is that true? Oh, it probably is. Fuck, I don't know.
I think it's true.
Let's say it's true. Let's perpetuate the myth.
But this is... this is a false analogy for watching Sex and the City, because it's the same for work, right? You know, like the idea of having to go to work, in my experience, even if you really don't feel like it, is often worse than once you're actually there. Once you're there, the actual thing that you've been dreading is happening, and so that means that it's closer to not happening. Sex and the City does not provide the same luxury. The idea of watching Sex and the City is better than the actuality of watching Sex in the City. Like, once I'm at work, it doesn't... I don't know, it doesn't... Do you know what I mean?
You're okay. So you're saying you're more okay. It's not great, obviously, but you're more okay once you're in it.
No. I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying that's traditionally my experience.
Oh, sorry. For this, it's the inverse. Working.
But in this instance, it's like... I mean, it's still hard to get up, turn the alarm off, open the lappy.
Yeah.
Boot up my four gals, live the bougie lifestyle that at some point in my life I'm sure I considered aspirational, not as told by these four characters, but certainly, you know, what they're doing. Or, you know, and it's just like, I don't know, fuck, man, I'm tired.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm upset.
I want to be doing better than I am in this episode for you, my boy, Guy Montgomery, because you got up at 5:30. I really feel like you've done your part, and now it's up to Timbo. You know.
It's up to both of us, man.
So often, I tend to draw the short straw in the time zone wars that we go through. But it's not too bad, you know, it's just a little bit of an early morning, but it isn't 5:30 a.m. But I really feel like I've got nothing. I watched the fucking movie, I'll tell you that. It was on. I was there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I don't know if this counts as continuity here, and I don't know if we've talked about it before either, but have we talked about how the movie at one point recycles used footage?
Yeah, you mentioned this a few episodes ago. What bit is it again?
So, you know when Miranda tells everyone Steve cheated on her, and then we see a moment between Charlotte and Harry, or Runkle, where she says, thank you for being you, and
it sort of suggested
that they have a beautiful lovemaking session.
Yeah.
Wow. On New Year's Eve, and this might just be in the director's cut,
yeah,
when they are showing the various different ways in which the gals are celebrating New Year's.
Yeah.
We see overlay of the exact same footage of Charlotte and Harry. And I'm like, if you're running a movie at 2.5 hours, it is unforgivable to do that, to use the same footage twice. Like, it is just, it's not essential to the story. I don't need to, I've seen them enjoying themselves. I don't need to know that they're fucking, right?
It's the symmetry of that montage, though. We need to see everyone. We don't need to repeat footage. Like, maybe they could have come up with something else, but can I throw this at you?
Wish you would.
It's valiant, bro. What you just gave me was fucking valiant. I'm sorry, I'm not still in it. I've moved past it too quickly. I should still be.
No, that's okay.
Do you reckon Harry's a good lay? Do you think he's a generous lover?
I feel like he must be. I mean, if we know that Charlotte in previous relationships has been frustrated by the impotence of Trey.
Yeah.
And we know, if only from secondhand information, that she is grappling with not being attracted to Harry while still actually being attracted to Harry. I mean, look, I don't think it's the be-all and end-all of the relationship or a relationship, but I feel like if there are various different obstacles for Charlotte to mentally overcome to even build the initial connection with Harry, there's got to also be reasons why you become so invested in the relationship and you believe that it can work. And one of those things, you know, you don't always necessarily get to choose who you have sensational sexual chemistry with.
Mm-hmm.
And I reckon that our boy Harry is an absolute fuck machine. I reckon he knows about things that you and I can only dream of, Tim. And I don't mean to slight you as a lover or myself, but I just happen to think that I don't know that he's read the Kama Sutra, but I do think he's written his own version.
The Harry Sutra.
Of, you know, well, he probably wouldn't call it the Harry Sutra.
Why not?
It feels like too much of a direct ripoff. I feel like that Harry suits you.
Harry suits you.
All of the lining of his suits.
Bad name.
All of the lining of his suits.
Yeah.
Line drawings he's done of the sexual positions he has experimented with and would like to experiment with.
That's quite cool because then, well, actually, you'd seem like a flasher, but if you wore the jacket, then you could show ladies by just opening up a breast of your jacket, being like, you want to do this? And I'd be like, that's fucked, mate. Where'd you get this jacket? And he'd be like, I made this. I'm Harry from Harry Suits You. And that would be the start of the worst infomercial on cable access.
I'd love it.
Harry Suits is such a shit name.
Nah, it's cool, man. It's cool. Don't worry about it. It's cool.
Yeah, it's good. You're good, bro. It's good stuff. I love it. What about Smith Jarrett?
I love Smith Jarrett.
I hated him this watch. I thought he was bad at acting.
I don't know. It's hard. It's hard for him to be bad. I feel like his character's such a fucking moron. It's hard to be bad at acting and playing him, because who knows what a moron acts like in the real world.
Yes.
But I thought he had like an oafish, and not oafish, but like, and an oafish innocence or beauty, a certain naivete.
Like a Shrek
really
quality.
The way that, I really like the way that he celebrated Samantha's handling of that heckler at the rehearsal dinner.
Mm-hmm.
He was like really clapping, getting behind that. I love the fact that he knew he was going to get dumped and didn't do anything to counter it. Didn't say, hey, we need to have a conversation. Literally just kept going on with his life until Samantha was like, we need to talk, and he's like, "Yeah, this is coming."
he's fine with it. Eh?
So little self-respect that it's like, "Well, I know that my partner's not happy, but I'm just going to keep trudging through this relationship until she tells me that it's over."
Dude, that's hilarious. A super common thing. That happens a lot.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah, I reckon there's heaps of it's. I think it's Well, it's probably both. It's probably just because I've got, like, a lot of guy mates who I would talk to about this sort of stuff. But I think it's a real guy thing to just kind of, and a bit young, like, it's something you do sort of, I think, in your early to mid-20s. Hopefully people grow out of it after that. But just sort of being a shit long enough to get dumped because you can't be bothered doing it yourself.
Oh, yeah. But see, yes, I know what you're describing, but that to me is not what Smith's
doing. Oh, this is a different thing.
Well, he's not acting out, like, he's not playing up, you know?
Well, I think he's not putting his best foot forward, and I think he recognises that there's a deficiency in the relationship, and he's not addressing it.
He has put his best foot forward, though.
You're right. I regret saying that as soon as I finish the sentence.
He has invested in the relationship, but I kind of agree that it's, like, I don't know. At the point where he's coming home late on Valentine's Day and Samantha is visibly angry, that to me would communicate hope in the relationship, because it's like, well, she's frustrated by my behaviour, which means she's invested in our connection and how it's working.
Guy, do you fuck with Valentine's Day? Are you a big Valentine's Day person?
No, it's such a challenging one, though, because, you know, like the whole not doing Valentine's, like, it's almost impossible to escape the long arm of Valentine's Day. I don't believe in it.
Yeah.
I don't do anything particularly special, but some small tokenistic gesture, I think, sort of is like, hey, not for me, but I'm aware that it's happening. So this. What do you think?
What do I think of that? I think that's good. I think it's
what do you think of Valentine's Day?
I do it. I participate. Yeah. I like little opportunities to do romantic things. I think it's cool. But I also am very, like, bad at planning, so generally it's not a super, you know...
But I like... I don't know. I like the idea of... I like... there's more value or power in a romantic gesture outside of, you know, a prescribed time.
Let me tell you about Tim Batt's version of romance.
I would love to hear this.
I actually, yeah. This Valentine's Day just been, I think, what was I doing? I was doing, like, a gig or something. So I was very late to come home, and I'd sort of been working all day, so I hadn't really seen
Had you been acting on set?
Had I been acting on set?
Had Zoe been making sushi for you?
You got it. Nah, she was at work. We were both just, you know, doing our respective things. But then I must have been doing a gig. I can't remember what the fuck it was, but I was getting home at about 10 p.m. or something, and I was Googling around looking for anything that would be open. And it turns out there was there's a fucking...
How can you say this?
What?
It's just so funny to do Valentine's Day and then your anecdote of supporting evidence is, so I finished a gig at 10 p.m. and I'm just frantically Googling for anything.
Oh, fuck. Do you know what it was, though, actually? It was the 13th. So this was Valentine's Day Eve. And I knew that I hadn't sorted my shit out. But, in theory, I could have done something the next day. But I wanted Zoe to be able to wake up to something. So I, started. So it was one of those things where it's like, I really want to pull this thing off now because it will be so much nicer. But worst case scenario, I could do something during the day tomorrow.
Okay, understood.
So I started Googling around for open stuff, and there was not the supermarket I was close to, but another supermarket slightly further away. So I had to walk about a couple of kilometers to get to that one, and luckily they had fucking flowers left because they just had so many flowers for Valentine's Day there, and I managed to get a bouquet of roses from the supermarket and trudged them home. But there's still romance there, in spite of the fact that it's slightly shitty of leaving it to the last minute and getting flowers from a supermarket. And I say this with the full knowledge that my wife does not listen to this podcast, thank goodness. And it's the personal fight, isn't it? It's the struggle. It's getting out there, walking too far, late at night, being very tired, to make sure that your partner's got some flowers in the morning. It's a version of romance.
Yeah.
It's not earrings. But still.
Well, I remember my partner tried to send me some cookies to arrive on Valentine's Day. And I didn't organize anything for her. And thankfully for me, the cookies actually didn't arrive until 2 weeks later when I was out of the country. I say thankfully for me, I mean, I would love to have the cookies.
Sure.
But in terms of keeping my nose clean as a partner on equal footing.
Yeah, yeah. You and I should celebrate Valentine's Day for each other, I think. I don't know why we haven't been doing that.
If we found the day of the first episode recorded, I would happily spend that as a romantic, not romantic, it would be a celebration of friendship. And also, it would probably be quite a nice opportunity outside of, unless we have to watch the movie on that day for any reason, but a nice opportunity to celebrate the bonds that we have and the things we've achieved outside of on air or having to actually watch the film. Isn't that ironic to think the reason we did this is because we missed each other? And it's nice talking to you. And even today, while I think we've struggled for inspiration from Sex and the City, you know, there are worse ways to wake... There's not a lot of worse ways to wake up than 2.5 hours of, you know, being beaten over the head by an unhappy relationship. But... the light at the end of the tunnel is this conversation, is it? There are worse ways to start my day than with a chat to my good mate, Tim Batt.
That's very sweet, and I feel the exact same way. It's always a great dishonour to have to watch Sex and the City again, but always a great pleasure to catch up with Monty in any way, shape, or form, however that conversation takes shape. I want to talk about the Durcon briefly, eh? Like, that shit was crazy. I'm sitting in the very same chair that I was in for 5 hours while we plugged away watching that thing, just reviewing little frames from the footage, just to check things were sort of matching
what
up.
What did you see in our eyes?
So grisly, man. An absence of what you want to see in people's eyes. It wasn't necessarily what was there, it was what was not there. When you see a normal person living life, engaging with the thing that they're doing in that moment, or with a person or a thing that they love, there is visibility to that. You can see a glow, you can see a sparkle in the eye. And everything that was in the frame of that footage was the opposite, where it was 1,000-yard stare, bad body language. Nothing that communicated joy or enjoyment. It was just two defeated dudes sacking red wine.
Isn't it funny? Someone said it to us on Twitter, but we refuse to learn a lesson.
Yeah.
the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
But do we expect a different result? I don't think I would argue we don't. And that's what the comedy is. I got to say, this episode, I don't know if there's a lot of comedy in it, but it's the concept, isn't it? It's the idea. It's the furtherance of the notion that we just keep watching this movie. That's where the absurdity lies. There's different kinds of ways to be funny, you people. You need to remember that when you review us on iTunes. Is that comedy... Comedy comes in different shapes and forms. Sometimes it's in the form of a joke, and you go, ha-ha, that had a beginning and a middle and an end. What a wonderful punchline. I didn't expect that to go there. And then sometimes it's two grown men watching a film too many times, and you go, well, they're still doing it, so I guess that too is a form of comedy.
Yeah. While this episode might not be funny in execution, the concept, the overarching concept, is what buoys it. Fuck.
I worry about that, because that's what we said a lot during the director's commentary too. So...
That means that we're beaten.
No. What was the slogan for Frosty Boy? Often licked, never beaten?
Yeah.
That's got to be us. That's got to be us from now on, man. We've got to...
Are we rebranding? Are we rebranding as the Frosty Boys?
I don't know, man. It's pretty cool. I'm into it.
I think we might be the Frosty Boys now. Yeah.
I just worry that it's a term already taken. I have no idea if this is true by some awful online group somewhere. If that's the case, we're taking it back. Timbo and Guy, the Frosty Boys.
Yeah. Well, I like it. Look, I think what you're saying is right. Often licked, never beaten.
So we need to
worst Sex in the City. Come at me again and I will, so help me God, I will strike you down. The next time I engage with you, it's going to be on my terms. It's not going to be at 5:30 a.m. It's going to be at a time of my choosing and my convenience. The conversation I have with Tim is going to sparkle with a joie de vivre we haven't heard since the halcyon days of Grown Ups 2.
I want to have a bubble bath. I just remembered I've got a bathtub in my house. And I haven't
had a bath in about 15 years,
I don't think.
I'm inspired. Earlier in the episode, I was saying, I don't know what's better. Is it to create an enjoyable watching environment, or is it just, you know, slop it through the mud, early morning watches, you know, with no fucking, with, like, all I had for company while I watched Sex and City this morning was water. That's no way to watch a movie. Yeah.
It's like saying the only person I hung out with today was this wall I'm next to. It's not a thing.
Well,
water wasn't company.
No, it is a thing. Water was the company. Like, if I had a croissant, I would have said all I had for company this morning was a croissant. But I wouldn't say all I had, because I'd say, well, it was actually not so bad this morning. I had it with a croissant.
God,
I had it with a bottle of ambient temperature water.
It's so positive. That's great.
You've got to watch it in the bubble bath. I've got to watch it outdoors. Let's make a conscious decision, a turn for the positive. Can you hear that? That's the sound of me banging.
Can I guess?
The empty water bottle.
Okay.
Oh.
I was actually not going to guess that. It sounds to me exactly like the noise a tab makes on a can of soft drink.
Oh, yeah. No, well, I think of the information I've given you, Tim.
Yeah.
I'll be toying with the tab on a can of soft drink.
I know. Look, Frosty Boys forever. Frosty Boys unite. You and I are the Frosty Boys.
Yeah.
Do you know what else? And maybe I'm being a little oversensitive to this at the moment because I've been spending too much time online. The having boys in the title seems too exclusionary to me, because I want other people to be able to fuck with this. I want us to be like a Frosty gang.
Yeah, I mean, the only other one I just had was Frosty Fellas. Fellas is, I mean, it's unnecessarily gendered. Like, you know, what do you think of guys? I think guys is everyone.
I am trying to get it out of my lexicon in certain situations, because I've had a couple people hit me up about it. And I would describe those people as, you know, pretty far in a certain direction, sort of pretty far on the left and very sensitive to these issues. But why not, you know? Like, why not get some better, more inclusive language to have in the chamber. The other one is that I'm really struggling with at the moment is opening, especially comedy shows, because this came from me. I said it so many times on the director's commentary, saying ladies and gentlemen all the time. I want to see if I can augment that a little bit. Get that
that's
out
an
of
easy
there.
Fix.
What is it?
Everyone and everybody.
Everyone and everybody. But, you know, it's just, it's always that shifting of the gear when you first jettison language that you've been using for so long. It just takes a little while to warm up.
But that one's a gimme to me, I reckon. Like, every time I start a show, good evening, everyone. It's the same.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Hello, friends. I quite like. Sets a nice tone right off.
All right, fuckos.
G'day, cunts. Oh, I did it again. Gonna stop saying the C-word.
There's my shining light. It was negative.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie says, out with the old and with the overpriced. And Charlotte, for one of the first times, I don't know if this is a decision by Kristen Davis or by Charlotte, does like quite a dismissive, like she's meant to laugh.
Yeah.
Carrie's made a joke.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Kristen Davis doesn't believe in the writing or Charlotte's got a bone to pick with Carrie. But she does like a very, very dismissive sort of,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's not invested.
That sticks out to me like a sore thumb, because her character often is the one who's giving the supportive laughter to the shittest gags from the other gals.
Her whole characterization is big noises.
Yeah.
And that's it. And look, I'm putting a put on this.
Well, hold on. Can we try and get to the bottom of this at least just for this episode? Are we the Frosty Boys? Are we okay with that?
I think so.
You and I are the Frosty Boys. We've got a friend zone, which actually, fuck, we should record one of those very soon. Now I think about it. We've got friends. Friends are everyone. We're Frosty Boys. We may revisit that later. I don't know. We're very tired to be dealing with concepts. Any concepts.
Nah.
We just need basic activities. Putting shoes on, putting jeans on, putting t-shirts on. These are all things I can do right now. Beyond that, fuck, I'm all at sea.
Life is good. I love you, Tim. I love everyone who's listening. One libertarian listener. I would like to say, see you next time. This is the Frosty Boys. Often licked, never beaten. Creamy as all hell.
Ooh.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know. He sort of feels me out, I feel him out, and we go for it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.